Jeremiah chapter 1, we'll begin in verse number 4. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible, Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. The Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee, to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd help us as we study the Bible. Preach the Bible today, Lord. Give our folks, dear Lord, again, the Word of God. Help them, dear Lord. Help us to develop, Lord, scriptural thinking. Lord, I pray, dear God, amidst the onslaught of misinformation and outright anti-Bible propaganda that's being put out, there has to be a voice. There has to be voices that proclaim the truth. And so, Lord, as I preach the truth, may you bless it and anoint it. May we want to hear it. May we believe it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. If you noticed when you came in today, we got our crosses up yesterday. We call this our abortion awareness project, and we've done it now. We got to figure, and I think this is the fifth year that we've done the crosses, and we are excited to be able to do it. We usually, on January 1st, New Year's Day, is when we go out there and put the crosses up. And then we leave it for the month of January. This is the first year we've ran into the ground being so frozen that we had to kind of keep putting it off. But I think, again, we see the hand of God in it. Tomorrow marks the 45th anniversary of the decision passed down from our Supreme Court, Roe versus Wade, that again did not make abortion lawful. It's not lawful. It may be considered legal, but it's not lawful. And again, the judicial system usurped the Constitution of the United States, and we fell for it. We allowed them to do it, and they shouldn't be allowed to do it. But unfortunately, since then, a quiet, behind-the-scenes genocide has been happening in the killing of unborn babies. And now over 60 million unborn babies, almost 61 million unborn babies in just the United States of America. And honestly, I think, folks, that that figure is low. I think that there's ways that they've been able to hide numbers. I won't go into all of it this morning, but we know for a fact, documented, 61. I want you to let that sink in. 61 million babies have been, their lives have been taken in what ought to be the safest place. If there's a safe haven, if there's a safe place on this planet, I mean, in the womb of their mother, that ought to be the safest place. And Jesus, our God, said to Jeremiah some things. He said, well, preacher, but wait a minute. That's not a baby, that's a fetus. Show me the word fetus in the Bible, because I promise you, I looked and looked and looked. What a shame. What a shame that in order to try to sell this lie, they've had to stop calling a baby a baby. But you know what God said to Jeremiah? He said in verse 5, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Now you think about that. A baby is conceived in the womb, and then slowly the baby begins to form. He said before the forming process began. So we believe that the Bible teaches that life begins at conception. He said, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. Something else God says. Notice this, before I formed thee in the belly. I say this about every year, but folks, we read in Genesis chapter 3 the account of where God made the first man. The Bible says that God formed them from the dust of the earth. That means God's hands came down and formed the body of Adam. And the Bible says that God lips touched his lips and breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And it didn't happen, young people, through evolution. It happened through a miracle of Almighty God. And people say, well, what a wondrous thing that God would form the first human being. But the honest truth is, God has formed every human being since then. He says here in the scripture, before I formed thee in the belly. So that means that a lady's expecting a baby, and God recognizes that as a person. Not only recognizes them as a person, but has already ordained and sanctified a plan for their life. And his hands are in the process of forming that child into exactly what he wants it to be. And all of a sudden, a murderous medical, I don't even want to call him a doctor, I don't know what to call him, invades the most private and what should be the most safe place and takes that life right out of the hands of Almighty God. Say, preacher, why are you saying these things? Because it needs to be said. Because America's gone to sleep. Because it's one of those continuing sins that as long as it's out of sight, it's out of mind. I mean, folks, you know what happened on 9/11. We look back and we talk about over 3,000 Americans being killed by terrorists, and we stop every year and we remember that day. 61 million. You know, we talk about Hitler and what he did. And the figures range anywhere from 1 million to over 2 million people that were murdered in concentration camps. And we say, how can a human being, how can a group of people? 61 million. 61 million. Say, preacher, how in the world did America get to the point where we were brainwashed into believing that this was okay? Well, Jesus said something about the devil. He said in John chapter 8, he said, you're of your father the devil, the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The Bible says two things in that verse about the devil. Jesus says, I'm going to nail him in two areas. Number one, he's a liar. And number two, he's a murderer. Okay, so how does he get away with murder? He starts by getting us to believe the lie. If you'll believe the lie and you'll fall for the devil's lie, then he's allowed to go ahead and do his worst. And he becomes the murderer that he is. Listen, if it wasn't for the restraining hand of God, if God took a hand of protection off this planet, you know what the devil and his demons would do? He would slaughter and massacre every living human being. We live literally under the protection and of the grace of Almighty God. He's a murderer. He's a liar. Young people, I hope you get this. You know what? Somebody comes and tells you something opposite of the Bible. Let God be true and every man a liar. Okay, somebody wants to come and teach evolution to our kids and the Bible teaches creation. Let me tell you something. God's telling the truth and that person's telling you a lie. Telling you a lie. Somebody says, well, until the baby's born, they're not really a baby. They're not really a human being. And God says, before I even formed you, I knew you. And I already had a plan for your life. God's telling the truth, and that person's telling a lie. You see, we were lied to. There were lies that America had to be brainwashed into believing. And what was the result of it? 60 million babies since Roe versus Wade. 3,500 babies aborted every day in the United States of America. The abortion issue is a battle between truth and lies. It's a battle between good and evil. It's a battle between life and death. It's a battle between Christ, who is the truth, and Satan, who is not only a liar and the father of all lies, but a murderer. I believe there's tears in the presence of God over every unborn child destroyed, and celebration in the presence of Satan over every unborn child destroyed before they have a chance to be born. Say, preacher, what were the lies? There's five lies that they sold us, and that most Americans chose to believe, or at least many of them, in order for us to stand by and let this happen. Lie number one. Are you listening? Lie number one. An unborn baby is not a human being or a person. We just exposed that lie in Jeremiah chapter 1. This verse tells us in verse number 4 that life begins at conception. God is active in the formation of a baby in the womb. Sanctification happens before birth or ordination happens before birth, which means God sanctifies or sets that person apart and ordains them to do something with their life. And they never get that opportunity. Medical science, not only the Bible has exposed this as a lie, but medical science exposes it as a lie. Heart is beating 14 to 18 days after conception. Brain waves are measurable as early as 6 weeks after fertilization. Most abortions are done at or after 9 weeks. The RU-486 chemical abortions cannot be done until after 6 weeks. Listen, don't forget this. An abortion stops a beating heart and destroys an active mind and snuffs out the lifelong potential of that person. So an unborn baby is not a human being. That's a lie. That's a lie. They're a person. It's a human being. Number two, every woman has a right to choose to abort her baby since the baby is in her body. Now this, of course, is what the feminist movement has fought against and fought for. This thinking is a result of the loss of what the Bible calls natural affection. We read about this in 2 Timothy. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's the first sin, and that's where this started. Lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. What does that mean? That means that moms and dads are going to lose in the last days that natural parental love that, you know what, is wired into almost every single human being born upon this planet. You don't have to teach a mother to love her baby. And by the way, you moms know this, you didn't begin to love that baby the day it was born. You loved that baby the moment you knew it was coming. And yet, that natural affection, that motherly love has been stolen from our country. I've told this story before, but when I was pastoring in Brazil, Indiana, something came out in the paper that was just horrific. It was a Sunday morning. There was a man over in Knightsville. There's a little park over in Knightsville, and he was out there taking a morning walk, his morning exercise. A little tiny little city park there, and they have outdoor bathrooms there. And as he walked by what we would say is kind of like an outhouse, he began to hear a noise he couldn't identify. Finally, he kept walking around trying to figure out what it was. Opened the outhouse. Looked down into, how many of you ever been in a real outhouse? Real outhouse, okay? That some woman had birthed her baby, come to that outhouse, and dropped it into the refuse, the human waste in the bottom of that outhouse. How can somebody do that? Loss of natural affection. Somebody's convinced them that's not a human being. It is a human being, okay? Well, it's my body. You don't have any business telling me what I can or can't do with my body. Well, if we're talking about your body, when you go into the hospital, have abortion, you come back out, it's funny how your body's still fine. It's not your body. You didn't kill your body. You killed somebody else's body. This thinking is the result of extreme selfishness. Someone else's, watch this. This is what the thinking is. Someone else's death is better than me being inconvenienced. Why do women have an abortion? Here's the statistics. Unready for the responsibility, 21%. Well, bless your heart. You're unready for the responsibility as a result of what had to happen to have the baby. But you were ready for the action. You were adult enough for that, but you're not adult enough for the consequences. Excuse me. If you're adult enough for the first one, then you better be adult enough for the second one. I'm just not ready for the responsibility. Well, then kill it. Can't afford the baby, 21%. Well, then just kill it. The baby might change my life. Any mothers want to testify to that? They might change your life. It will change your life. And by the way, change it for the better. 16% worried about their life being changed. Relationship issues. In other words, a baby would ruin my relationship. In other words, the guy who lied to you and told you how much he loved you Now you're worried that if you tell him that you're about to have a baby, he might go away, so you're going to kill the baby. What in the world? Feels too immature. I say again, if you're not mature enough to take care of a baby, you have no business doing the things that produce a baby. They already have enough children. Well, what's that number? Find that in the Bible for me. What's the enough number? And then 5% just have other reasons. The thinking is a result of the desire to have, listen, this is what the truth of it is. It's my body, and no one ought to be able to tell me what to do. This thinking is a result of the desire to have sin without consequences. That's the real desire. The place to take care of the sin is at the throne of grace. By the way, abortion does not erase consequences for your action. It increases the consequences for your actions. Because now you've got to spend a lifetime bearing the guilt of that. Number three, it is better to abort a baby than to see it born unwanted, poor, or into a potentially abusive situation. Let me say that reason again. It is better, this is the thinking. They're saying it is better to abort a baby than to see it born unwanted. By the way, there's no baby that would be born in the United States of America, according to the statistics of parents right now wanting to adopt a child. There's no such thing as an unwanted baby in the United States of America. Adoptive parents are having to get on planes and fly to third world countries to be able to adopt a child. That's a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie. They're not unwanted. They may be unwanted by you, shame on you. But they're wanted by somebody. They're wanted by somebody. So let's throw that one out. It is better to abort a baby than to see it born an unwanted poor? Poor? Well, that child's going to be born into a poor situation. I think if you asked that child 15 years into his life, would you rather be alive and a little bit poor or dead? Not had a chance to live? They'd say, I'm good with poor. By the way, let me ask you this. What's wrong with poor? What's wrong with poor? Listen, has America become better the more prosperous we've become? Have we become more godly? There's nothing in the world wrong with being raised in a situation where folks have to struggle a little bit. Let me tell you something. Most of the people, the gray heads in this room, most of the ones that stuck it out and they're still married, and yeah, they've got a few things now. Go back and check out where they started from. Man, I'm glad when me and Cheryl got married, we didn't have two nickels to rub together. You say, what kind of a honeymoon did we plan? Well, we didn't plan what kind of honeymoon we were going to plan until we opened the cards to see what kind of a honeymoon we'd be able to afford. I know you young people don't even have a reference point on this. Okay? I request your presence. Oh, I spelled that wrong. Presence. I'm just going to say it and you get mad if you want to. Don't tell me what store you registered at. I'm not interested in getting you what you want. I'm getting interested in getting you what I think you want. Amen? We're just brazen, man. We assume you're going to buy us something. By the way, we already went and picked it out, and here's the stores you can go online and find out what it is that we want you to buy for us. Amen. Amen. I'm by myself up here, but I'm having a good time. Did we register anything? I don't think we registered anything. Man, we didn't want gifts. We wanted cash so we could go on a honeymoon. Amen? We'll figure out how to toast bread some other way when we get home. But hallelujah. Poor, what's wrong with poor? What's wrong with poor? Some of the greatest Americans that has affected this nation for the best weren't born with a silver spoon in their mouth. Having to struggle a little in life builds character in your life, builds contentment in your life. Okay, I mean, you ought to thank God you started with nothing. Because then you know what? The rest of your life, everything that you do get, you can look up to God and say, God, by the grace of God, you know what? I started down with nothing and look what you've done. And Lord, and by the way, get a work ethic. God blesses work. Get a work ethic. Doesn't hurt young couples to struggle at all. Hey, young couples, stop wanting everything that it took your grandparents 40 years to get. Stop wanting to start out there. Okay? Most of the couples that are wanting that, insisting on that, they never make it to where grandma and grandpa was. And so this idea of, oh, here it is again. Here's the lie. Now, it's better to abort a baby than to see it born unwanted. No such thing. Poor, nothing wrong with that. Or into a potentially abusive situation. Potentially abusive. Okay. So the cure for poverty is kill poor children. The cure for potential child abuse should not be the premature death of the potential victim. You know what you're hearing? Truth. It's like this bright light that shines and the darkness doesn't know what to do except scatter. Let me say it again. You know, we hear this. Well, it's better to abort a baby than see it born unwanted, pour into a potentially abusive situation. Well, yeah, a little bobblehead, you know. Well, I guess, yeah, it sounds like. What? When somebody says something, somebody needs to say, what? Stop. Let's review what you just said. No, let's not. Yeah, let's shine some light on what you just said. Okay? That's what truth does. And by the way, I shouldn't just be doing this in the pulpit. You ought to be doing it in your life circle. Every time something stupid is said, it comes up, whether it's in your family, amongst your friends, or your coworkers. Stand up for the truth. Stand up for Jesus. You know, I'm not going to sit here and listen to someone say something that's ungodly, unholy, and stupid and not speak up and say, what'd you just say? Let's talk about that a minute. Well, they don't want to talk about it, discuss it, put it under a microscope because, you know what, it'll crumble. So a potentially abusive situation, we've got to kill the child because it might be born into a potentially abusive situation. The cure for potential child abuse should not be the premature death of the potential victim. Okay, I got to look out here and say, you know what? Every woman in here potentially could be the victim of some type of abuse. And the best way to save you from that is to kill you. Men, every one of us, I mean, come on. I don't care how many guns you're carrying. Every one of us could potentially be. That's ridiculous. Besides that, listen to what I'm going to say. Abortion is the ultimate child abuse. So you're going to try to dodge a potential situation by committing what is so much worse, ultimate child abuse. I'm talking about lies. Unborn babies, not a human being. Yes, it is. Every woman has a right to choose to abort her baby since the baby's in her body. What? Are you kidding me? You have a right to kill somebody else just to make your life a little easier. It's better to abort a baby than see it born unwanted, poor, into a potentially... It's ridiculous. But it's a lie. Number four, abortion should be legal because women were dying from botched attempts to end their pregnancies in back alley, non-regulated facilities. And those of you that remember the battle, Roe versus Wade, and how many times did you have to turn on the evening news, those of you who were alive back then, and see a bunch of women marching somewhere holding up hangers, wire hangers. And because who we got in here, I'm not going any farther than that, but that was the big excuse. Oh my goodness sakes, women are dying from botched attempts to end their pregnancies in back alley, non-regulated facilities. By the way, that means illegal facilities. Illegal facility. Okay, before 1973, folks, let me make sure that you understand this. It was illegal to kill an unborn baby from 1973 all the way back to 1776 when this country started. Illegal. You know why? Because you weren't allowed to kill another human being, whether it was born or unborn. But then all of these people are telling all these horror stories. Well, this woman, she was dying because she went to an illegal place to commit an illegal crime. An illegal crime. Let me say it again. An illegal, she was committing a crime in an illegal criminal facility. And because she's committing a crime against another human being's life in a place that's helping her do it, then we got to pass a law because she's dying from it. These deaths were the result of criminal activity. Mother or other relative seeking an illegal abortion, a doctor or an abortionist performing the illegal abortion, and America fell for the lie. We were told that the way to stop back alley casualties was to decriminalize the activity. We should never have decriminalized the killing of the unborn child. Every one of those mothers had other options, like obeying the law, like not committing murder. Instead, they chose to break the law and seek to destroy their unborn child, and in doing so, some, very few, lost their own life in the process. I'm going to tell you what I equate it to. If it's against the law and it's a criminal act and I do it, for instance, robbing a bank, and then I get shot robbing the bank, I expect all of you to march on Washington. Okay? All right, and say, listen, we are losing too many bank robbers. They're dying. We have to legalize the robbing of banks to save the bank robbers. There is nothing different here. Preacher, what you're saying is so politically incorrect. Welcome to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Listen, you have to have half your brain removed to become a liberal. You have to just quit thinking altogether to become a liberal. You have to just check common sense at the door to become a liberal. Okay? I mean, folks, I'm not even using a whole lot of scripture. Common sense is rising up against this nonsense. The truth always exposes a lie. Okay? Number five, here's the last lie. We're going to get going now. Abortion should be an option. Now, by the way, put your seatbelts on. I'm going to challenge something. I'm going to challenge your thinking. By the way, you struggle with what I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not mad at you. I am not mad at you. But I think you better take a look at it in light of the scripture. Amen. Abortion should be an option for those carrying a baby that is potentially disabled, deformed, or sick, or in cases where the woman's life is endangered, or in the case of rape or incest. Now, I know that's several things. All right, first of all, who formed the baby in the womb? Okay. So, my wife, her mother and father, when they had Todd, found out that he was going to have mental and physical malformities, he wasn't going to be whatever normal is, then they should have killed him. Go tell them that. Let me tell you something, folks. Okay, special needs, whether it's physically or mental, special needs children are a blessing. They're a blessing to the families that they're born into. I'm going to say this, and again, I don't blame you for saying this, parents. I don't, because listen, I'm not talking about somebody. I watched the way it affected my wife's life and her mom and dad's life, and I know in many aspects it's not easy. But my wife has a level of compassion for hurting people that she would never have if she was not involved in taking care of Todd for the 28 years that he lived on this earth. He never walked a step on his own the whole time that he was on this planet, never spoke a word one time. But he was absolutely the joy of the Whittington family and the joy of the church that my father-in-law pastored. He came to our church a few times. Some of you remember that. Oh, he got so excited when we... Song service was his time, man. And whenever the song leader would start singing, he'd sit back out there, and he would do this. And then he'd be in his wheelchair, and he'd get so excited, he'd start bucking down, back and forth. The first time I was with their family in my church, I'm like, that kid's going to flip over. He's going to break his neck, man. And he'd get that thing going, and he'd get... Then I look at him and think, who's got a problem? I got people that are supposed to be in their right mind that I can't get excited to say anything at church, and I won't even smile, won't say amen, act like they're, you know, been weaned on a dill pickle and forced here. Who's messed up? Can I say it this way? Who's the retard? He didn't choose the way he is. You choose how you are. Amen. What's this? It's called light. It's called truth. All of a sudden, all these little excuses. Well, you know, we just got to understand that there's some people that just, you know. What in the world? Stop bobbleheading nonsense. Stop believing lies. Start speaking up for the truth. Well, you know what? We had there's a test run. By the way, we've had people, young ladies in this room, little mothers, that had tests run, and it showed that there was a potential problem with that child. And it's amazing how many times I've watched it in this church, and that child is born, and they're fine. So what test, what's really going on? How many parents believed that, had their baby killed, and that kid was fine, normal? And by the way, even if they weren't, it's God's will. He formed them. God has a purpose for their life. They can touch a bunch of life. Some of the sweetest people we have, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, are special needs people. And if it's up to this group, there wouldn't be a one of them walking the planet that had all of them killed. You tell me, JK, his life's not important. You tell me Mark's life's not important. What in the world? We're playing God. Trying to play God. I know it's Sunday morning, but we need to hear this. Nonsense. All right, preacher. All right, I'm with you on that. Or in case of a woman's life being endangered. Okay, listen. Preacher, man, I'm telling you, I'm the dad. And I mean, here I am, and I've got to make a decision. By the way, again, these situations are so rare in this day and age. They're almost non-existent. Tell me the last time you ever heard anybody that was put in a position where a doctor came in and looked a man in the eye and said, I can save the baby or I can save your wife. I don't mean something you heard or you thought you heard. I mean document it. Amen. Come on. Hey, preacher, but if that ever happened, it's not a reason to okay abortion. Remember we talked about natural affection? You want to go to the Bible and find out how many women died in childbirth? Tragedy. Tragedy. But what their children went on to be and do? What happened to natural affection? I mean, I'd die for my kids. Come on. You say you would later.
Yeah, that's right.
You say you would later. I know. I knew it was going to get quiet. Okay, well, it comes a choice between my kid or me. Man, there was a generation where mothers would have said in a heartbeat, you save that child. You save, I mean, that. You know what? In the last days, perilous times have come. For men shall be lovers of their own, and nothing's more important than me. Nothing's more important in my life. Nothing's important what I perceive to be my rights, and nothing ought to come into my life that hinders me in any way. That's where we're at. Now, preacher, here's the last one. I mean, I heard it. You said, or in cases of rape or incest. Let me say this. Listen to me. Sexual assault is a horrible crime. Horrible crime. Whether it's rape or incest, it's a horrible crime. As far as I'm concerned, you've heard me say from the pulpit, I do not retract this. To me, it ought to be a death penalty crime.
Yes, sir.
It ought to be death penalty. I'll sign off on that tomorrow. Okay, put him in the chair. I'll throw the switch. Go home and sleep. Go home and sleep. I mean, the ladies of our civilization ought to be the most protected. Ought to feel safe. Okay? So it's a horrible crime. The perpetrator of such a crime should be punished to the full extent of the law. But listen to me. The victim of that crime is just that, a victim, a victim. Now, listen to what I'm going to say next. And again, put your seatbelt on. To encourage the victim of a sexual assault, to encourage the victim of a sexual assault to then victimize the child she carries will compound her trauma, not lessen it. Because now a woman has to deal with the emotional ramifications of the initial assault as well as the lifelong guilt she'll endure by destroying the child. Preacher, man, that's tough. Hey, you know what? I've never had to live that. I've never had to make that decision. But if you ever put in that situation where you had to, I think you ought to make sure, like every other decision you make in life, that it's made on the principles of this book, not on any personal feelings of your own.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm not mad at you. Preacher, I don't agree with that. All right, I'm fine. Me and you are fine. But I want you to go home and say, I'm going to open this Bible and I'm going to find verses so I can go back and show that preacher where he's wrong about that. And as soon as you find those verses, we'll sit down together and we'll look at each other and I'll say, man, the Bible's there. I missed that. You were right and I was wrong. I have no trouble changing to fit the Bible. But I've never had anybody bring them yet. Well, preacher, but if it was my wife, if it was my daughter, let me ask you this. Because the circumstances was criminal, does that mean that God's hand's still not? Does not mean that's not a human being? Does that mean it's not God's hands forming it? I'm going to tell you something. By the way, I'll be honest with you. I'm just going to be honest. I'm not a super big fan of focus on the family, but you ought to go to their website and you ought to listen to testimonies of children who were born and are now adults who was the product of this situation, and a Christian woman said, it's not something I would want or wish, but I am not taking the life of a child because of something horrific that's happened to me. And these children champion their mothers. And many of these children are out there raising godly families and doing amazing things for the Lord. I'm just saying, folks, guess what? We live in a sinful world. But the Bible principles are the Bible principles. All right, preacher. Those are the lies. Those are the lies. What's the truth? What's the truth? If those are the lies, then what's the truth? Here's the truth. Satan is the driving force between the death of innocent children. All through the Bible, we see that. I mean, Revelation chapter 12, I don't have time to go to it. Herod killing the young children, satanically driven. Pharaoh killing the Egyptian children. Israel midwives who defied the decree of a heathen king. Moloch causing the children to pass through the fire. Sacrifice of children into the fire when they begin to worship false gods. Number two, the shedding of innocent blood is an abomination before the Lord. Yea, six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. It's an abomination. Number three, better remember this, America better hear it. Innocent blood cries out to God for justice. Cain talked with Abel, his brother. It came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. The Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? He said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And if one innocent man killed, his blood is crying. I want you to stop, think about this. If you're Almighty God, by the way, there's the visible, the invisible, things we can't see, some things we can see. There's also some things we can't hear, and you ought to thank God you can't hear it. What would it sound like? I mean, if for 10 seconds God would let us hear the cry of 61 million babies crying out, how long, O Lord, how long? Crying out for justice, for retribution. You don't think God hears that? Abortion desensitizes our nation towards the value of all human life. If we willfully justify the death of the unborn, we start down a road that leads us to rationalizing the shedding of any and all innocent blood. God will eventually bring judgment upon a nation that allows the shedding of innocent blood, 2 Kings chapter 24, Psalms 106. What do you do, preacher? I mean, what do we do? It's where we're at. What do? Pray to end abortion. I don't mean just for a few weeks while we got the crosses up. I would encourage our church, one of the things we encourage you to do is to, while the crosses are up, take some time, spend some time, come over here for an afternoon, bring your family with you, bring your children with you. We're going to walk amongst the crosses and we're going to pray for about an hour. And we're just going to ask God to put an end to this. Preacher, I mean, people are driving by. Well, we better not pray. I mean, we don't want people to see us praying. They might think we're Christians, especially in the front yard of a church. Okay? Pray. Vote to end abortion. Listen, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm a Christian. I vote Bible values and Christian values. I will never pull the lever, knowingly pull the lever and vote for anybody that is for killing unborn babies, ever. I don't care what party they're from. If they don't have the integrity to protect the unborn, if they are for the murder of unborn babies, why would I trust them to run anything?
That's right.
Anything in our government.
Yes, sir.
What else can we do? Evangelize our nation. Amen. Tonight after church, we're going to have a meeting. We've presented our vision night last Sunday night. This idea, listen, folks, this is a battle for our country. I need 20 men. I'm telling you, I need 20 men. Step up and say, you know what? I can do this. I will do this. The best way we can stop this nonsense is grassroots, getting the gospel, seeing people saved, helping to get into a church where it teaches the Bible so they've got a Bible-based view of what's right and wrong instead of just following what everybody else does. Educate our nation. Like I said, when you hear people speak up against this stuff and they give all of these silly reasons, you be ready to give an answer. Raise your hand and say, hold on just a second. I mean, kids in our public schools need to be doing this. Well, I'll end up in the principal's office. You call me. Use your one phone call. Don't they give you one phone call at least in the principal? Oh, that's jail. Okay. One of them. You call. Listen, don't call your mom and dad. Call me. Then call your mom and dad. Call me. If they give you two calls, I would love to talk to that principal. This idea that our kids have got to sit there and listen to a bunch of lies and they're not allowed to go this and say, wait a minute, excuse me, sir. Excuse me, ma'am. I happen to go to a Bible preaching church. I own a King James Holy Bible. I kind of know the truth about this, and you're not telling the truth. Okay. Amen. Ask them if you can play this sermon in your classroom. Or I'll be glad to come and make a guest appearance. I would do that. Amen. Well, folks, we're going to leave those things up for a month. Somebody asked me, why don't you do it all year long? Anything that's out there all the time, people stop seeing after a while. And I will tell you this, the impact of it just being up for a month a year. I've had people stop me in the community saying, why aren't the crosses out? Why aren't the crosses out? I mean, folks that are of all kinds of different stripes and maybe wouldn't stand where we do on a lot of other things will call this church and say, thank you for doing that. Thank you for standing for this. Somebody's got to tell the truth. This is a tragedy going on. And you know what, like I said, if it was ever put to a vote, it would have never been legal. Because America's got more sense than to vote to legalize the murder of unborn babies. But we weren't allowed to vote about it. This was thrust upon us. But you know what, I believe something. And folks, you can throw whatever you want to at me. But I'm telling you right now, I am praying that God restructures our Supreme Court. Because if our Supreme Court gets restructured, and we're not that far away, we could reverse this decision. We could reverse this decision. And you say, preacher, it would take a president that was crazy to take this on. I think we got him. For the good, the bad, and the ugly, I think we got him. He's just crazy enough to do it. Amen. Amen. Well, I've watched the party liners come and go and promise How many decades have I watched of the party liners come and go and say they were going to do something finally about this if they can just get our Christian vote? And then with a Republican president and both House and Senate, they failed to do anything. So you know what we need to do? We need to pray. Wouldn't that be something? I mean, wouldn't that be something, you know? Say, preacher, it almost sounds like you're suggesting that, you know, I mean, in order to get a new judge, somebody has to, you know. I'm not praying for them to die. Just praying that the good Lord would take them home. Let's stand before I get myself in any more trouble. You believe this stuff goes out on our website? Can you believe I'm not in jail? I mean, it's amazing. Call! Make the phone call. Keep your preacher out of jail. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the truth. We need to hear the truth, God. The Bible, Jesus said the truth will set you free. He said, that devil, he's a liar. He's a father of every lie, and he's also a murderer. I just pray, Lord, that you'd help us, help America to see the truth. The truth. A bunch of liars have taken over the media. A bunch of liars have taken over most of the government. They're liars. They spew forth lies. They believe lies. They've lied so much that they believe their own lies. Thank you for the Bible. It sets the record straight. It separates the truth from the lie. It shines a bright light. Lord, it blows away their house of cards, their straw man arguments. I just pray, Lord, that you'd help us, dear God, to stand for the truth. Help these young people. They're being raised in an environment situation where so many lies are being told. So many lies are being told in our educational system. Just pray, Lord, that you'll help them. Thank you for sending them to the church where they can learn the Bible. Help them to stand up for Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name.